Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY25 earnings conference call of Moneybox Finance Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Mamta Nair from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you to the Q3 FY25 earnings con call of Moneybox Finance Limited. To discuss this quarter's business performance, we have from the management Mr. Mayur Modi, Co-founder, Mr. Deepak Agarwal, Co-founder, Mr. Viral Sheth, Finance Controller. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website and stock exchanges. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the management for their opening comments, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mamta, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mayur Modi, and I'm pleased to welcome you all to the Quarter 3 Financial Year 25 earnings call of Moneybox Finance Limited. Our financial results and the investor presentations have been uploaded on the company's website and exchange, and I hope you had a chance to review them. Joining me today are Deepak Agarwal, the Co-founder, and Mr. Viral Sheth, Finance Controller. Before we actually dive down into the business updates, let me start with some macro updates. As we all know, the Indian economy continues to expand, but at a slightly moderated pace. The Reserve Bank of India forecasted India's GDP to grow at 6.7% in financial year 26, with quarterly estimates ranging between 6.5%-7%. While this suggests some softness in domestic demand, which could affect the economic momentum in the near term, however, the agricultural activity remains very strong, supported by the healthy reservoir levels and the promising rabi prospects. Moving on to the inflation trends, the headline inflation eased to 5.2% in December 2024, coming down from a peak of 6.2% in October 2024. This decline was primarily driven by lower food inflation, particularly in vegetables, which helped bring overall price pressures under control. And this led, for the first time in 5 years, the Reserve Bank of India had to cut the repo rate by 25 basis points, bringing it down to 6.25%, aimed at supporting the growth. The RBI governor has assured that India's structural growth drivers remain very robust, providing a very stable foundation for the long-term economic expansion. Now, shifting the focus to the NBFC sector, a stress test was recently conducted on the industry, indicating a level of resilience, with capital buffers remaining well above the regulatory requirements, even under very adverse scenarios. However, we must remain mindful of the global medium-term risks, including the geopolitical tensions, global trade barriers, the climate disruptions, the weakening urban demand, and the weak export performance, all of which could have potential spillover effects on the financial system. While some uncertainty surrounds the NBFC sector, we are proactively responding by taking strategic steps. As a company, we are expanding our branch network, improving the operational efficiencies, and enhancing our collection mechanisms. These efforts, we believe, will help us to adapt to changes and continue to grow. Now, let's move on to the main item, which is our Quarter 3 Financial Year 25 performance. I am pleased to share that our assets under management recorded a 56% year-on-year growth, reaching INR 837 crores in Quarter 3 Financial Year 25, including our managed book of INR 246 crores. This steady growth has been driven by strategic expansion of our branch network. In terms of quarterly disbursements, we achieved INR 168 crores for the quarter, representing an 8.3% year-on-year increase from INR 155 crores disbursed in Quarter 3 Financial Year 24. and the cumulative disbursements since start of the company in quarter 3 financial year 25 reached INR 1601 crores. Moving on to our secured portfolio, we witnessed strong momentum in this segment. Currently, incremental secured disbursement book constitutes 50% in quarter 3 financial year 25, up from 24% in quarter 3 last year, and is expected to reach 60% by the end of financial year 25. Our secured loan book now makes up approximately 38% of the AUM as of quarter 3 financial year 25, rising from 17% in quarter 3 last year, and we remain on track to achieve our 40% target by March 25. In fact, we will definitely exceed this target. This shift reflects our deliberate strategy to strengthen our asset quality, enhance the risk management, and build a more resilient secured loan book. As of December 2024, we have significantly expanded our operations, growing from 86 branches in 8 states in December last year to 160 branches across 12 states. A key milestone in our growth strategy has been our entry into new markets, including APT, which is Andhra Pradesh and Telangana, Karnataka, and Tamil Nadu. We are also pleased to share that we have received continuous support from our lending partners. During this quarter, we successfully onboarded 3 new lending partners. They are Indian Overseas Bank, Bajaj Finance Limited, and Navkisan Finance Limited. And in January of this year, Surya Small Finance Bank was onboarded, bringing our total number of lending partners to 33 and banks to 12. Now moving on to income, our total income grew to 54.6% to INR 51.8 crores in quarter 3, up from 33.52 crores in quarter 3 last year, reflecting the steady expansion of our business and our operating expenses as a percentage of AUM remains stable at 12.6% for the 9-month ended financial year 25, compared to 12.7% as of financial year 24. We remain committed to optimizing costs while ensuring the sustainable growth. Managing expenses efficiently is a key strategic priority of the management, and we continue to take steps to streamline the operations. Reducing operating expenses remains a key long-term objective, and we are on track to achieve our target of bringing the OPEX down to 10% by financial year 26. In terms of yields and spreads, the company's current yield stands at approximately 27.9% for this quarter, while spreads were at 14.96%. Moving on to our profitability metrics, our profit after tax (PAT) for the quarter 3 stood at 0.2 crores, and for the 9-month ended financial year 25 was at 6.5 crores. Our 9-month financial year 25 return on average AUM came in at 1.2%, while our return on average equity stood at 4%. As you may recall from our earlier discussions, we had highlighted that our ongoing branch expansion will lead to increase in OPEX, which has had a short-term impact on both our ROE and ROAA. Now talking about our net interest margins, they have remained stable at around 16.6% for this quarter. Our focus remains on improving the asset yields and maintaining disciplined cost management to further enhance our margins. During the quarter, our overall collection efficiencies, this is current and up to 30 DPD, improved to 97.3% in December 24, up from 96.5% in September 24. While the collection efficiencies in the current and up to 90 DPD rose to 95.2% in December 24 compared to 94.5% in September 24, reflecting a very steady progress. However, our credit cost as a percentage of average AUM increased to 4.7%, largely influenced by the industry-wide stress that we are seeing in the unsecured segment. That said, we remain very committed to proactive risk management and are very confident that our ongoing collection efforts will help bring the credit costs down in the upcoming quarters. To enhance our collection efficiencies, we have taken a number of steps. We have significantly intensified our recovery efforts across all DPD buckets. Company's collection strategy of building out a separate collection function now with over 100 team members, focusing on the collection along with engagement of telecalling agencies, digital interventions. We have deployed SMS, IVR and bot and have intensified efforts on legal recourse for the recovery of dues is actually showing positive results. As a result of all these focused initiatives, we have observed the turnaround in collection efficiency from November 2024 onwards, and a steady month-on-month improvement is there in collection efficiency. Our on-book gross NPA, which is Stage 3 assets, rose to 5.6% in Quarter 3 Financial Year 25, up from 2.78% in Quarter 2 Financial Year 25. Likewise, our NPA increased from 1.41% in Quarter 2 Financial Year 25 to 2.88% in Quarter 3 Financial Year 25. This decline in asset quality is in line with the broader industry-wide stress that we are witnessing in the unsecured loan segment. Our provision coverage ratio stood consistent at 50%, reflecting our prudent approach to risk management as we continue to build adequate buffers to safeguard against any potential future contingencies. Further, the company strengthened its capital position by announcing an equity raise of INR 175.8 crores, out of which 91.08 crores was received in September 24 and the balance 84.72 crores is receivable by March 2026, which will provide adequate cushion for any further downtrend. With this fundraise, net worth increased from 169 crores as of March 2024 to 265 crores as of December 2024. And the expected capital infusion of 84.72 crores on warrants conversion will increase the capital base to over 350 crores. Capital adequacy remains healthy at 35.76%, and the debt-equity ratio remains low at 1.78 times as of December 31, 2024. Moreover, the increasing focus on secured lending, 50% of disbursements in Quarter 3 and 38% of AUM as of December 24, and the improving geographic diversifications with presence in 12 states spread across India is expected to yield stability in asset quality going forward. Looking ahead, as we anticipate further improvements in the coming quarters, driven by an expected uptick in rural demand, as economic activity and cash flows in rural and semi-urban areas continue to improve, we expect to see a positive impact on repayment behavior amongst our customers. Additionally, we are continuously refining our credit assessment and risk management frameworks to maintain a sustainable asset quality and ensure long-term portfolio health. Thank you so much. I think now we can move on to Q&A.
Sure, thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. The first question is from Nisarg Vora from Vora Growth Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Sir, my first question was that I was concerned on the resignation of the internal auditor. So could you please provide some clarification on the reason?
Yeah. Rasun Nisarg. So basically, as we clarified also on the BSE, so it's not Viral Seth has resigned from the organization. He remains finance controller of the company. It is just that there was too much on his table, and we had a new hire in internal audit function, so Saurabh will take care from here. So it is just that, you know, he was preoccupied with many other things. That's the only reason.
It's just redistribution of work, I think. It's just that we hired a specific person for the internal auditor. And the interim, I think, Viral was helping us with this function. And when we hired Saurabh, this function moved to him in terms of responsibilities.
Got it, sir. Thank you. And sir, I wanted to ask that how are we intensifying our collection efforts? Like, how are you planning to prevent the 30 to 90 bucket from slipping? And how do we get the confidence that, you know, you'll be able to manage the situation in the future? I mean, the growth that we are doing, 100% or whatever, will be sustainable and we'll be able to collect the money back when required.
So, Nisarg, as we have already also given in our presentation, so there are multiple steps taken through all the buckets. So, you know, as we said, in 0 to 30, we were not doing, other than the LRO collection, the relationship manager collecting, we have introduced a telecalling, we have introduced SMS bot, IVR as an additional help in the 0 to 30. In 30 to 60 bucket, we have introduced a new line of, you know, credit officers, which will collect at that level. Even in the 60 to 90 bucket, you know, branch head will ensure. The collection team is already now 100 plus people. So that impact, you will already see that, you know, on the slide 14, which we have, you know, given that, you know, actually slide 15, the turnaround has happened. In whether in the current bucket, you know, it's a continuous decline. And across 0 to 30 and up to 90 bucket. So improvement is seen now. And one initiative which we have taken is that to give investors monthly data point. So we started with January. And every month, at least till it recovers to the February level, which we used to see, you know, we will be giving monthly updates on the collection. So we really on the ground see that, you know, time is changing now. In terms of whether client giving the payment, in terms of their PTP, with, you know, crops get, you know, better crop season. So situation is definitely improving. And we are strongly convinced that, you know, max by not later than June, we will have the very similar number as we used to see, you know, last 1 year, 1 year back. So at least in the 0 to 90 bucket, everything will be corrected within next 4 to 5 months. Result will be seen month on month, but I hope the complete reversal will happen in another 4 to 5 months.
Got it, sir. And sir, if you have access to the presentation, then there are on slide 15 and slide 16, there are two different measures of collection efficiency. So could you just help me understand what is the difference there?
This is what we are talking about, the current bucket, but collection, when we talk about collection efficiency, it also includes the portfolio which has already flowed into the next bucket, say into the 90 bucket. So for example, when I talk in on the slide 15, you have what is in the current bucket of, you know, 0 to 30 and up to 90. But here what we are talking is, on the slide 16, what we are talking is collection efficiency, which includes the clientele, which is 90 plus also. So for example, when you already have a higher GNPA, so you know, as we said, there is a 5% of the client which has crossed 90 bucket. Now, there, when that percentage becomes higher, the overall collection efficiency gets impacted, which is represented by slide 16.
Got it.
I hope I'm... So what the strategy is, the immediate control... See, the biggest problem, you know, which happens, you know, when you see the result, you will see that our gross... our operating profit has doubled versus last year, but the profit hasn't. The gap is this NPA. So if a client does not pay his 3 EMIs, he flows to NPA bucket. So for example, if for the last quarter, if I have people holding 18 crore of loans who move to 90 plus bucket, I have to take a 9 crore write-off on that as a provision, 50% provision, which is as per RBI guidelines. Now that impacts the profitability very significantly. Those are not written off client, but, you know, provision has been made. Now, as a strategy, what we are doing, first of all, and the impact has started coming in, that, you know, we have to completely, you know, return back to the older numbers wherein we have to stop the slippages from 0 to 30 to 30 to 60 and from 30 to 60 to 60 to 90 and then the further slippage. So, you know, first of all, remove the provision levels, which is the, which have been the spoils for this year that, you know, client moving into NPA bucket. So that we want to stop, you know, wherein I'm saying that June target, but every month we want to get it impacted very, very significantly here. And then collect the balance number, which is there. Obviously, for that also, there is a strategy and the work is going on. But yes, this NPA movement needs to stop, for which a lot of steps have been taken.
Got it, sir. And sir, that would act as a remedy, but like right now, roughly, you know, 1 in 10 customers of ours is not paying back. So are there any changes in the underwriting process that we have and how will it impact the growth further?
So not like 1 in a 10. So you can say that, okay, 8 out of 100 is getting delayed, slipping over to next bucket, you know, from the current bucket. So definitely, but, you know, as you see in slide 15, that slippage is getting solved. You know, in April 24, it used to be 0.37. It peaked in July at 1.77. Now it's coming down. So I'm saying that, you know, that these are only the steps which are reflecting that we are stopping it here. And you will see that, you know, that number changes even at a better level. And you know, we have a very, very strong recovery mechanism in the next buckets, in 30 to 60 and 60 to 90. So that slippages, we will take it back to a normal level.
Got it, sir. And then my last question was that currently, if I look at our collection efficiency for secured loans, and it is still worse than like Q1 when this stress started. So like, why are the numbers on secured getting a little worse for us? And like, is secured in this case really secured? Like, what happens in case of slippages in secured loan? What are the actions that we take?
No, secured is definitely secured. So you know, it is as secured as you see in the competition. It is just that little bit impact of, you know, clientele getting impacted, you know, for a period of time, you know, because of which, you know, which has been earlier also said that, you know, elections, heat waves, states, and, you know, these clientele got more impacted than others. We had this portfolio, which is, you know, a livestock portfolio, and the main income, maybe the 70-80% of income was from the milk, but, you know, there was this as we always maintained, that all our cattle customers have a secondary income, which in a large part is agri income as well. So that also got impacted. And, you know, there, that's where you see, because of the, you know, that slippage is little more versus maybe a similar comparable, because that agri profile was there in our customer base. But that does not mean the profile of customer is similar to MFI. There was that agri income. So, I mean, when an MFI will do maybe with 2 to 3 cattle, where we have like 5 to 6 cattle and above, but then income got impacted, and so does the blip which you see. But you know, that secured is secured, and, you know, people will pay up. And you will start seeing this because, you know, on the ground, we have started feeling that level that, you know, people now versus November and December, now they are saying that, you know, some of them have started paying, and some of them are saying that, you know, because of the crop season, they will pay up and they will clear their dues. So I really hope that, you know, things will balance out soon. Over and above, we are also, you know, making it a more diversified portfolio, like, you know, like in South, our cattle portfolio will be like only 20%. So overall, you know, on a company level, you will see that, you know, that shift of portfolio slightly towards non-cattle and largely towards a larger customer. Because see, earlier, our ticket size, which, you know, see in the average ticket size as well, which is, you know, even in secure, it is around 3.25 lakh. But now we are doing more and more deals, which are like, you know, 5 lakh, 6 lakh. In some cases, even up going up to 10 lakhs. So, you know, even the profile of customer is changing. which will have a good impact over a period of time.
Got it, sir. Thank you, sir.
But just to answer your question specifically, that secured thing, you will see the movement. The impact is because of the portion of portfolio, the portfolio mix. But this will soon get corrected.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Saloni Shah from SKS Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So my question is, the share of secured lending in Moneybox's portfolio has increased to 38% of the AUM with a target of reaching approximately to 5% by March 25. So what are the factors driving this strategy shift towards the secured lending, and how do you anticipate it impacting the overall profitability and risk management?
The first question was, you're saying that what are the drivers for secured lending?
Correct,
sir. The biggest driver is the management call that, you know, we want to become a secured lender largely. So, you know, historically also we are covering the same number, same thing, that we started more as an unsecured lender. But the basic concept was there that, you know, we will fund only people having a self-occupied residential property, right? And, you know, they are natives of that place. So since big inception, there was this policy that as our cost of borrowing comes down, you know, we started with 20% in first year, and now we borrow at 12%. And, you know, as the tenure increases, we will build book which is more, you know, secured. So there are multiple factors, you know, although a yield is a bit lower, but then, you know, once you see in terms of OPEX, when you have a 5 to 6 to 7 year kind of funding, your OPEX comes down very significantly. So what you will see the impact that, you know, as you build on the secured book, because the maturity period is longer, the OPEX incurred is lower there. So that's one. On the delinquency front, it will definitely be lower. You know, in any cycle, if unsecured is 3%, secured will be like 1.5%. I think you can safely assume it will be like half of credit cost versus an unsecured loan. Then your borrowing cost also decreases. You know, people are, as in banks are more, you know, as you grow in larger size, it's easier to, you know, get borrowing from banks, etc., when you are more of a secured lender. So definitely these are the drivers. And yes, initially there is some pain, you know, every time when you make a conversion and you know, you shift from, say, unsecured to secured, you have to take some tough calls. You have to let go some of the book which could have been built in unsecured, but that's the way you do it. So today, out of 12, 6 states only do secured business in our case. And, you know, slowly, majority of branches are only doing secured business. So that's the strategy-wise which is driving. And in terms of, you know, your query with respect to profitability, you know, leave aside the short-term blip, but on the long haul, as you know, when your OPEX decreases, see, once you see our P&L, what are the main factors? One is the OPEX you have to reduce, the borrowing cost you have to reduce. Credit cost is a new dragon here, which we have seen, but you can bring the OPEX down with secured lending. You can bring the cost of borrowing down with secured lending, and obviously credit cost also gets impacted. So profitability over a long term is good. I would not say it is bad in unsecured, but you know, when you are growing and when you grow large, secured lending definitely helps.
Okay, sir. And my second question is, sir, in the recent... Am I audible?
Yes. In the recent...
Sir, my second question is, given the recent stress in the unsecured loan segment, what changes have been made to the underwriting process to mitigate the risk, and what is expected trend for the credit cost in the coming quarters? And when do we anticipate a return to the normalized level?
in terms of see what is happening is one is that there are multiple things which are happening. One is you will notice that there is a very fast movement towards secured. So say we were like 17% last year December. Now we are 38. We were 24% year end in terms of secured. Now we are saying that 44-45%. Next year we should cross 65% in secured, maybe even more. And so one is that, you know, see the trajectory. One is when you said unsecured, the shift towards secured. The second is even in terms of clientele, you know, how we are communicating with the team that we have to, make a shift towards more of a, you know, micro, you know, where we were saying that, you know, in the context from rural to rural and semi-urban and from just micro to small. So you know, the kind of clientele we have started entering, you know, people with, you know, people owning Creta are now, you know, if I talk about January, we saw people owning Creta becoming our client. So that shift is coming, you know, because in some cases we are doing 12 and 15 lakh as well. So that clientele is changing. Your last query in terms of normalization, I really strongly believe that by June, we will resolve the, flow forward moment, towards 90, which, so we will be back to our normal thing, month on month improvement, the way we used to be in, you know, February and March last year, in terms of, you know, before 90 portfolio, and what has moved, we will take very, very significant steps to recover that also. That process is already started. It will take some time, maybe, you know, it will take, you know, one full year to, because it has already moved. But I really hope that, you know, with the new changes which we have brought in the collection process, things will get better and better.
All right, sir. Thank you so much for answering my question. That's it from my side.
Thank you. So next question is from Devang Mehra from SKB Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I have a couple of questions. So my first question is like Moneybox has rapidly expanded its branch network from 100 to 160 within the past 9 months, right? So can you elaborate on the strategy behind this aggressive expansion and its anticipated impact on the business growth?
So basically the strategy is in line with what the way we started, that, you know, we will expand at least 60 branches, maybe 3 or 4 more will come, you know, in this financial year. But, you know, what has happened here is that we are now a pan-India franchise. So with, you know, adding four south states. So now we have presence across India, you know, largely you can say. So that was one part. Second is only also because we have given our targets in terms of, you know, growth rate. This year has been exception because, you know how the market is doing, you know. So maybe for this year I'm saying that, you know, anywhere between 25 to 35% growth rate this year. But you know, it has made us ready for the time, you know, when market picks up. So that's the key thing. That's the way it will help, because there's a pan-India presence, diversification between number of branches, number of states, diversification between product portfolio, because it is different in South versus in North. So you know, across the board, we are diversifying. And, you know, it will definitely help in the expansion in terms of AUM.
Okay. So, sir, do you like face any challenges in scaling the operation in the new regions, like mostly outside India?
Outside India?
Yeah.
No. Outside India, we don't have a strategy. See, for these kind of loans, you know, you really have to dig really deep, you know, whether you want to go abroad. Because Indian market at present is so large that you will not like to consider extension abroad. I mean, nearby countries. It's not that, you know, in Indonesia, the market is very big. It's not the case. I think at our stage, definitely, the opportunity is far larger in India. I think what we have to focus is that, you know, we should reach a single-digit OPEX level, single-digit borrowing cost level, and, you know, improve our ratings, you know, improve our size. So that's the strategy. So international definitely we are not thinking at this point of time.
Okay, sir, got it. And the last question is, like, how do you plan to optimize the branch productivity considering the AUM per branch for vintage branches is 13.8 crore?
So that's what the work we will do, you know, especially in coming years. You know, this year has been bad. Otherwise, you know, definitely it would have been better. But you know, now the focus will increase a lot in terms of, you know, making optimum AUM level at each of the branch. So I think now we have a very right team. You know, in terms of, you know, senior management, you know, we have covered a very large part. You know, the CRO, the compliance head, the HR head, you know, at all levels we have people who are, you know, 20 to 25 years of work ex. We have collection head also joining this month. So I think the team is there. The people side is very much there. Now we have products as well. So now we are able to do up to 15 lakhs. So that's the reason I believe that, you know, we will be really able to optimize now the branch productivity.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thanks. Thanks for the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Sahil Vora from MNS Associates. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. I just had a few questions. Just a second. Yeah. My first question is, the collection efficiency has shown a notable improvement since November 2024. Could you elaborate on the key factors driving this recovery and what specific measures are in place to maintain or further enhance collection efficiency in the coming quarter?
So, Sahin, we started, as we have spoken even in our last you know, presentation, that till 31st of August, we had zero collection, you know, anything which is specifically focused on collection. So from September onwards, we started, you know, people who were not doing good in sales, you know, we brought them to collection team, you know, about 47 people. Now, month on month, you know, we have, like, you know, currently we have 60 people in the on-field collection, and which are also held by about, you know, 35 vet doctors who are also helping us in, you know, cattle-related cases. So almost a team of 100 people. And, you know, every month we are getting new people. I mean, we are, you know, introducing new people who are, like, you know, very collection-oriented. So that's on-ground team. Then we never had telecallers. So across now all buckets, starting from February, So starting from January, we had 30-plus bucket coverage. Starting from February first week, all buckets are covered through, you know, SMS, IVR, and telecalling as additional support. And then now we are also making dedicated effort in terms of, you know, central team helping the branch staff in collection, you know, with specific allocation to each bucket, to each specific team. So I think those things have started happening from, you know, mid of last month. And that's why I really believe that, you know, results will really improve from here. You know, some has happened of the last, you know, 3 months effort. And now we really have the team, you know, across all buckets. So things will get better and better. So every month we are enhancing the collection efforts.
Okay, got it. So furthermore, with legal actions being initiated for delinquent accounts, could you provide an update on their effectiveness? have these measures resulted in a meaningful reduction in overdue accounts? And how do you assess their overall impact on the asset quality and future provisioning requirements?
Specifically on the legal action, it is not, I would say, too early. One is with just notices, there is impact on collection, which happens. With respect to going legal, see, last year we only filed 10 cases, you know, which was in H1. And in those, actually 9 cases, in 4 cases, there is arrest warrant, which is already there. This quarter, we are doing about 170 filings in terms of legal. So that step will take some time, you know. But I think, you know, that gives an indication to people that, you know, the company is no longer, you know, it's not silent about, you know, delinquencies. Earlier, because the flow was so less that we thought, we can go easy with it. But I think as the credit cycle has shown us that, you know, we had to have, you know, a very particularly strong strategy for each bucket, which is a good part which has happened, you know, out of this credit cycle. But now we have a particular strategy on how to collect from each bucket. And it is improving month on month. I'm not saying we have done 100% of it. Maybe we have reached 50% of it. But in next 3-4 months, you know, everything, you know, which we have planned will be on track.
That's good to know. Thank you, sir. That's it from my end. All the very best.
Thank you. Next question is from Yash Matre from Cruise Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My first question would be, you know, there is a noticeable increase in both the gross NPA and net NPA levels in the recent quarter. So could you just help us out with a, you know, detailed analysis on the key factors of why this is continuously rising?
So the key is the flow. It's simple that, you know, the clientele which moved to 90 plus bucket got increased. So last quarter we had 18 crore worth of, you know, clientele which moved to 90 plus bucket, and that's why the 9 crore of, you know, 9.14 crore of you know, provisioning which has happened in this quarter. So as I said that, you know, if you see the charts, you know, we just gave the chart, that's why that, you know, earlier in the X bucket, you know, we had, so if there are like 200 client, only one client will slip, you know, it was that good that out of 200, even not even one client will slip to next bucket, which in July reached to 1.77. So more than, you know, 3.5 client moving. Now that has come down to 1. So we are saying that out of 200, from 1 to 2, it's still double that last year number, you know, what used to happen in, you know, February and March. So now the strategy that way is that stop the slippage at first level and then be very, very aggressive in collecting into 30 to 60 and 60 to 90 bucket. Last month we saw a 30% dip in terms of number of clients moving to 90 plus. Last month means this month, you know, which would have moved into 90 plus in February. So what the initiative we took for half of month in January gave us very significant result for the slippages in surgery. So I think those things will improve. As I said, that I've explained that, you know, which is also given on slide 15, that the collection efficiency dipped in this bucket. And because in the last 6 years, this was the first time, say after 5.5 years, this is the first time. We have not seen this even during COVID. So that dip we saw for the first time, but, you know, I think corrective actions are in place, so things will improve. And even generally, market is improving. I'm saying one is the collection part, but even generally, the market is showing signs of improvement now.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
These clientele are there. The important part is that, you know, we are not a digital lender, that we cannot reach these clients, or, you know, we can reach them only through digital modes. There are branches. These clients are there. I mean, it's not that, you know, they have absconded. We have funded the guys who were natives of that place. They are there. They are reachable. Not even like, you know, 2% of the people are live, you know, or not even 1% or not even 0.5%, where we can say that, you know, clients don't exist now. They are all there at their home. There are some problems. Someone has a medical problem. Someone has some other problem. But I think they are not really saying that they will not pay. They might not have, in some cases, they might not have money to pay right away. But it's not that they are not accepting that they have to pay. So I think once the rigorous follow-up is there, they will pay.
Okay, sure. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Mamta Nehra for closing comments. Ms. Mamta Nehra?
Hello. Thank you. I would like to thank the management for taking this time out for the conference call today, and thanks to all the participants. If you have any queries, please feel free to contact us. We are Orient Capital Investor Relations Advisor to Moneybox Finance Limited. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Moneybox Finance Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.